You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Of course, I'm talking about the book Butler by the author Selena Zito, who is my guest right now. The untold story of the near assassination of Donald Trump and the fight for America's heartland. Selena, thanks for joining me. And wow, your hair does look beautiful. You really have the best hair of any journalist.
Well played, Rich.
Did you use hairspray today, Selena?
No, I never use hairspray. My hair's big enough.
The conversations between you and the president, these exchanges that you had, I mean, the day of the shooting and the aftermath, and remarkable, the friendship you develop with the president.
Yeah, I think that our fondness for each other is based on mutual respect. What I respect most about him is that he sees the people that have been long ignored by both political parties. And I respect the heck out of that. And I think he respects the heck out of that I've never let go and continue to cover everyone with dignity and respect and respect to their situation. And so I think that that's where that comes from.
I love the book. I really do. And I love the focus on not just Butler, but also on Pennsylvania and how crucial it was to win the election. You know, the part where you're talking about the liquid natural gas export ban. And I kept saying during that campaign, Selena, I mean, this is the dumbest political move I've ever heard in my lifetime when you got to win Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they put a ban on the export of liquid natural gas. Not only the Biden administration, not only did that impact the hundreds of thousands of people that work in the industry, it also impacted our prices, also impacted our farmers. Why? Because a lot of farms are kept afloat because of the money they get from the leasing on the farms. And by the way, if you think that's like this big, huge thing, no, it's usually a very compact, small platform. And you wouldn't even know it was there because half the time it's painted green. Right. But the trickle down effect was devastating. It was just another sort of decision made by the Biden administration and continued on with the Harris administration in clinging on to issues like climate change, social climate justice, climate change. I don't know how many words we have to put in there. And then understanding the very people that you are supposed to serve, you know, and understand the importance of them in their lives. So, yeah.
Your model of journalism, which is why you're so unique, is that you actually do something amazing, which is you talk to people. You leave the confines of the media empire in D.C. and New York, as you write, and you talk to people who go to Sheetz and Wawa and McDonald's, and you talk to the people that were at the rallies and support Trump, and throughout Pennsylvania you were covering this. And that's why I think you've been so effective, is that you knew he was going to win because you were talking to people.
More importantly, I was listening to people.
Yeah.
I mean, That's the secret sauce. People will be willing to tell you about their lives, and they'll be willing to, you have to be willing to listen to the nuance in which they tell their story, because that's where the evidence of how they really feel about how something is impacting their lives. It's a decision made by someone in Washington or Harrisburg.
Now let's talk about Butler. Obviously, that's the title of the book, Butler, and the perspective that you had there. You had a very special seat that day, because not only were you going to interview the president, you were going to fly to Bedminster with him and talk with him. That was the plan. Of course, there was an earlier plan that had changed, and then it changed to you going on the plane to fly Trump Force One to fly to Bedminster. And then at first, when you heard the shots, it was, I believe it was, your daughter-in-law who said it sounded like fireworks?
My daughter did.
Daughter did, okay.
She knew what that was. She's a gun owner, just like I am. But you just kind of hope it's not something terrible, right? And her and I talked about that after. And she goes, I wanted it to be fireworks. I didn't want to think that we were literally sitting ducks and being fired at.
Yeah, I mean, that feeling in that moment, because, Selena, you were so close that one of President Trump's advance guys jumps on top of you and covers your body the entire time that this is happening. I know it all happened so quickly, but for you, from your perspective, Selena Zito, how long did that feel like?
It was, people often talk about how in a traumatic incident that time slows down. I would contend that happened for me. Time seemed to travel to me. The best way I can describe it is in layers. Mm-hmm. And I just felt there were layers of things that were happening. And I understood, I'm a person of faith. I understand purpose. I understand that I wasn't supposed to be where I was standing there. Donald Trump was not supposed to turn his head. Corey Compatori and his wife, Helen, were not supposed to be sitting where they were sitting. So you have to understand purpose. And I understood in that moment, I didn't know I was going to write a book, but I understood that I needed to chronicle this in the most respectful and dignified way.
Which you've done. You absolutely have done that. And it's also, I've found fascinating that another man was shot in Butler. Another president was shot in Butler. And could have died as well and changed the course of history, and that is George Washington.
Yeah.
And that was amazing to me. And when you told President Trump that and his reaction to that, pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it is, because Washington dies, there's no French and Indian War. Mm-hmm. But there's no French and Indian War, there's no revolution, because the crown had to pay down the French and Indian War, because George Washington started the French and Indian War in a place called Jamonville Glen in Fayette County, Pennsylvania. And if there's no Revolutionary War, what are we still part of England? I mean, yeah. There's no General Washington. There's no President Washington. Country looks very different. The same with Donald Trump. There's no steelworkers in Bucks County whose plant is going to stay home and open it in Fairless Hills or in Western Pennsylvania. There's no steel being made in America, right? Everything is different. There's no borders that are closed. There's no deal between Iran and Israel. There's no annihilation of Iran's nuclear capabilities. The world is very different.
Selena Zito is with me. Her book is Butler. It's out today. The untold story of the near assassination of Donald Trump and the fight for America's heartland. Intimate conversations with the president as you traveled with him throughout the campaign, the day of the shooting and the subsequent days after, and how many times he called you. You have his cell phone number. You can't give it out, obviously, but that's pretty cool. And the fact that he really cares about people, and that he really truly cares about how the people of Pennsylvania are doing, and not just Pennsylvania, but I mean, throughout the whole area, the Rust Belt, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Pennsylvania is just sort of, it is emblematic of who we are, right? We're the Keystone State. It's a very diverse state. There's all kinds of people here, all kinds of professions, all kinds of different capabilities, but we are very much an example of what the entire country's potential is. And he sees that through our eyes.
And Selena, the idea of the media being so out of touch with people was another great theme of your book. And I think, so first of all, I recommend this book for a number of reasons. I mean, the tale of Butler from somebody who was there on the ground, who was with the president before the shooting and after, who had intimate conversations with him, and, you know, his idea that he was saved by God. Also, what took place in the election and how the Biden campaign after that, I mean, the fumbles, and you get into all that as well.
Yeah.
And you also get into the media and just how they become so out of touch because we've lost local journalism.
Yeah, it's an end of localism. And, you know, it's interesting. And I don't know how we fix that. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, we push localism in how we eat, how we buy our clothing, how we conduct our business, and small newspapers in this country used to be the backbone of this country, and they just keep disappearing. Not every month, not every year, every day. And without that localism, without the guy that coaches your kid's little league team, but is also the cops reporter, or is also covering school boards or water authorities, you lose that touch of understanding place and rootedness. And when it's covered from a distance from someone in New York or DC who doesn't have connective tissue with your community, it's covered differently because there's otherism about it.
Selena, what questions do you still have a year later?
I want to know why the Secret Service didn't talk to the local law enforcement. Why didn't you open those lines of communication? I think the story would have been very different had that been done. I think that's what the big fault line was. It's a lesson that we learned in 9/11. It's why we have Homeland Security to strengthen those communicative ties between these agencies. Why didn't we do that day? I don't think it's the fault of the guys that were there, by the way. The guys and girls that were there that day worked their butts off. However, the people that were the decision makers, those are the people that need to be questioned.
You write about Thomas Crook's family in the book. We still don't know anything about this kid.
No, we don't. We don't. And full disclosure, I mean, I look into it, but there's only so many walls you come up to that you can't get past.
Selena, you were on our mutual friend Dana Perino's podcast this week, Perino on Politics. That's actually how I first got to know you. You and I would go on her show together in America's Newsroom with Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer. We would talk about Pennsylvania politics together. And I always thought you were just so gracious and so so thoughtful. And of course, you know, you're up by Pittsburgh. I'm down in Philly. We made a great team as we talked about all this. And, you know, it's interesting to me because the president goes to outside steel country. And you talk about this, too. He also goes to North Philadelphia, right? He goes to Temple.
Yeah. He understands the coalition is changing, and he shows up. That's his secret sauce. He understands the meaning of showing up. Doesn't mean you're going to get 50,000 people in North Philly, but you showed up and you asked for their vote. And that counts.
And the Democrats mocked him for doing it. The media mocked him for doing it.
Well, they lost, so maybe they should learn something from that.
And you knew, and that's why. And by the way, props to you for being a tequila drinker, because I am the same way. And I would have also made that bet. So just saying. And that's the other question I have for you. Are you more of a Blanco or an Añejo or Reposado? Like, what's your go-to?
Blanco.
Blanco. All right. Fair enough. Well, Selena, congratulations on writing this book. I said it today. It really is a masterpiece of not just the events of Butler, July 13th of 2024, but the entire election, the focus on Pennsylvania, the Rust Belt. As President Donald Trump said, the Rust Belt is her territory. And I know Elon Musk wants a new name for that, but the Rust Belt, it shall be.
We love it.
Not going to get it. But get this book wherever books are sold. Selena Zito, Butler, congrats, my friend. And thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. Thank you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
She does not like attention. You'll understand that as you read the book. She does not like a lot of attention placed on her, but she deserves it, certainly does. And obviously, we have a lot of questions a year later about Thomas Crooks, and so does Senator Ron Johnson, which is why now he's calling for an investigation a year later. He's calling for an investigation, and he's subpoenaing people from the Secret Service and the FBI. And yeah, Selena's right. It's not the people who were there on the ground that day. It's the people in charge. It's the people in charge. I want to play this clip for you. This is Corey Compitore's wife, Helen, who sat down with Alexis McAdams of Fox News talking about, you know, a year later and the fact that she still does not have answers here. Cut 23.
We were all sitting ducks that day. Our blood is all over their hands. I'm angry. I lost the love of my life.
The Secret Service admitting to multiple failures after a 20-year-old gunman climbed onto a rooftop at a Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania on July 13th of last year and fired off 8 rounds.
Why weren't they paying attention? Why did they think that that roof didn't need covered?
Those gunshots nearly taking the life of President Trump, critically injuring 2 men and killing Corey Compitore, a husband, father, and fireman. His wife Helen tells me she thinks about him every day.
A year later, doesn't get any easier.
No. Sometimes I still just pretend he's at work and he's going to come home at the end of the day.
Police say Thomas Crooks fired those gunshots. Investigators say the once shy college kid planned this attack for days.
Do you think Thomas Crooks did this all by himself?
Honestly, I believe that he could. I do believe. I mean, kids can do those things when they're mentally not right.
Did you think at this point there'd be more answers?
Yes. Especially about the shooter, which we still don't know.
Butler County Sheriff Mike Sloop says people are still grieving.
They remember it like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. Because in our minds, and yours probably too, mm-hmm. It was yesterday.
I think everybody here is so shaken up and confused on what's even going on. We heard several gunshots.
If you could sit down with the Secret Service, what would you tell them?
Why Butler? Why Butler? Why was that such a failure?
I want to sit down and talk to them. I have the right to. They need to listen to me.
Yeah, it is truly heartbreaking to hear that. It really is. By the way, Selena, I could tell at the end had to go. And, you know, I have a sense of this when somebody needs to go. And I don't want to keep my guests too long, especially when they're in high demand. But I knew that somebody was calling her. I could kind of get that sense. And it turns out President Trump called her 3 times while she was on the air with me. 3 times. And I wish she would have taken the call and answered so that he could have joined the show.
Maybe he was listening. Maybe he wanted to call to say, wow, that interview with Rich really sounds great.
Well, I mean, she should have just said, hang on. And, you know, Mr. President, hey, I'm on with Rich and hi. And we could have had a 3-way call. Damn it. Well, I mean, I respect the fact that she. So wait, I want a call waiting standoff against the president of the United States of America.
Evidently. Yeah, you did.
Wow. I mean, that's serious bragging rights right there. I want a call waiting standoff against the president of the United States of America. Wow. Oh, that's pretty. I mean, I'm just saying. That doesn't happen every day.
I'll be honest. If I was talking to you and President Trump called me, I'd probably stop talking to you.
Well, 100%. I mean, I and all she would have had to say was, I got to go. The president's calling. And I'd be like, fine. And it's not a big deal. I'm just impressed that Selena Zito kept going with the interview. I mean, that's amazing. It's remarkable. And I can kind of tell she's like, I kind of got to go. And I didn't know she had another Fox News hit to do or something else. But, president was calling her. And 3 times I beat him in a call waiting standoff. Not once, not twice, But three times Matt DeSantis, is that right?
Three times, yep.
Straight
three
from times. The lady herself.
All right. Top that. See that? And he wanted my ratings to go to zero. Well, guess what, Mr. President? I just won a call waiting standoff. Not once, not twice, but three times.
Oh, what if that's what he was doing? What if he was trying to get your ratings to go to zero by losing the big guest?
That's true. He still is he still is clearly hell-bent on doing that. You should play the audio of that if you have it.
I'm trying to grab it. We switched over the common drive, so nothing is accessible at the moment, which is
oh,
nice.
Did we? Yeah. Oh, that's too bad. Of course, everybody who knows that election night when the president said, I hope your ratings go down to zero. What he meant was that in the full context, I hope everybody stops listening and goes to vote and your ratings go down to zero. But no, I think he actually meant it. Now he's trying to derail the interview, but, you know. Call waiting standoff. No wonder why. We have a lot of women listeners in the Zeoli Army. And part of the reason why chicks clearly dig me is because I just want a call waiting standoff against the President of the United States of America three times. So just saying. Just saying. All right, Mom? And you said I'd amount to nothing. All right, Mama Zeoli? Well, look at me now. Okay? Now he's really, Trump's really going to hate me now. This is really, that's not good. This is not good. I really wish you would have taken the frigging call, to be honest with you. All right, we got a lot more to come. We got to talk about schools, and we got to talk about unions and how frigging crazy they are and how nuts. We're going to do that as we continue along the show as well. Got to tell you about my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. He's my dentist. But before I do that, though, I want to mention we got this great event coming up with Gianno Caldwell. And I'm excited for this. This is going to be our next Politics and Pints event with special guest Gianno Caldwell. Thursday, July 31st, 7:30 p.m., the Zlock Performing Arts Center at Bucks County Community College in Newtown, PA. Join us for a powerful evening as I sit down with political commentator and Fox News contributor Gianno Caldwell, author of the deeply moving memoir, The Day My Brother Was Murdered. This is a one-night-only event and provides a raw, real, and timely discussion on personal loss, the future of American politics, and what it takes to heal a nation. For tickets, visit 1210WPHT.com. The VIP ticket includes exclusive and intimate pre-event photo opportunity with me and Gianno Caldwell at 6 o'clock, signed copy of The Day My Brother Was Murdered. Get a copy of the book, signed by Gianno, and a take-home Politics and Pints tumbler. This event will sell out, so get your tickets today by going to 1210WPHT.com. Do it now and get your tickets, okay? 1210WPHT.com. So Dr. Mike Veneria is my friend. He's my dentist, and he really is. He texted me yesterday, said, great show, and we were talking about a couple of different things. He's my family's dentist, and you need to go see Dr. Mike for your perfect smile. Why not? I mean, what are you waiting for? You deserve a beautiful smile, and Dr. Mike Veneria can give it to you. He's the master of implant dentistry, so regarded among his peers that other dentists send their patients to Dr. Mike Veneria. And he also is a very caring guy. That's what his concern is. It's about care. It's not cost. That's what separates Dr. Mike Veneria. Two locations, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, right over the bridge. Easy to get to. All you got to do is go to VeneriaDental.com. It's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com, and go see him today. My buddy, my friend, the master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
So it's a busy day here on the show. As you can imagine, we are very, very lucky to have a lot of great guests who come on the show and chat with us. And Corey DeAngelis is no exception to that. He's the man behind the school choice movement, in my opinion, who's made it such a critical part of the conversation. And he joins us now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Corey, thanks for joining me, man. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me, Rich.
Absolutely. What caught my attention yesterday was, I think you tweeted out, if I'm not mistaken, that the teachers union is now backing the communist in New York, Zoran Mandami. Well, I mean, it's not really a surprise, but that got my attention.
Yeah, that's right. The United Federation of Teachers is backing the socialist who won the Democrat primary, Mandani, in New York City. And this is an affiliate of Randy Weingarten's American Federation of Teachers. So this is a far left union, buddy buddy with the socialist candidate. And look, they're trying to put this socialist crap into our schools. They admit it. And now they're just locked arms with the socialist candidate. And I also found out that the candidate, Mamdani, went to a private school himself, yet opposes charter schools and school choice for everybody else. Another case of school choice for me, but not for thee. And that private school is not just any private school. It's in New York City. It's called Bank Street. And the kindergarten tuition, Rich, just the kindergarten, is north of $66,000 a year. Talk about champagne socialism.
Wait, for friggin' kindergarten?
For kindergarten.
I mean, how many crayons do you buy with $66,000 a year?
It's insane. And wow. So, I mean, that's just one piece of the story this week. This union that should be the political kiss of death, that you have this union that's in just so interconnected with Randy Weingarten, the person who lobbied the CDC to make it more difficult to reopen schools during COVID and hurt kids in a lot of ways. But that endorsement comes with funding, so it might help him. But it should be the political kiss of death, that affiliation with this union that cares about adults and not kids.
Corey, I noticed in looking at the voting results that Andrew Cuomo actually won with blacks and Hispanics, and Mandani won with white liberals, which is no surprise there, right? I mean, it's the white college-educated liberals that are the ones that are anti-school choice.
That's right.
Right? I mean, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. In my home state of Texas, we just passed universal school choice. It's great. Became the 16th state to do so in 4 years. We're winning so much, I'm almost getting tired of winning, Rich. But we had a poll from the University of Houston, of all places, that found that if you splice the data based on all different demographic characteristics, you had a majority of support for private school vouchers. Even if you used that loaded terminology that the unions came up with, vouchers, it's usually less favorable when you use that word, still found majority support across party lines, across all different types of demographics. And the lowest level of support, get this, was among white Democrats. And it was still like a 51% support, but black Democrats were one of the highest levels of support, probably because their kids are assigned to the worst failure factories that we call public schools. Yep. In New York City, only 13% of kids, black kids, are proficient in math, according to the nation's report card. And they spend, what, $40,000 per student in New York City. It's insane. And it's a great advertising for school choice that you have the unions locked arms with the socialists. And why do you think the socialist won anyway, in the Democrat primary at least? It's because you have 90% of kids being churned through this government school system where it teaches you to like big government and that socialism has never been tried and that we should really just double down on this failed experiment.
Corey DeAngelis is with me, school choice evangelist. You got to follow him on X at DeAngelis Corey. Must follow account. Corey, in New Jersey, we got a governor's race. Jack Cittarelli, I really believe, can win this race. I really do. Mikey Sherrill is a bad candidate. She tosses out Kamala Harris word salads all the time. I mean, Jack, I think, can do this. Yesterday, the current governor, the clown king, Murphy, announced now more universal pre-K and kindergarten. Oh. Now, as parents listen to that, they go, oh, that's great, because now I don't have to pay for it. But this guy wants to indoctrinate your children at the earliest possible age.
That's right.
Climate change curriculum, his LGBTQ plus IA, every letter of the alphabet curriculum. They want them at the youngest age possible in a public school, period.
Exactly. And I just shared a clip from the Socialism 2025 conference. And it was a clip of a teachers union member. This just happened a couple weeks ago, the conference, and I shared the clip a day or two ago. And this teachers union member from Wisconsin basically said the quiet part out loud and said, I know all you socialists are happy about, you know, being radicalized in college. We already knew that was happening. But then she took it a step further and she said, imagine if we got those students 4 years earlier, because I'm a high school teacher. Imagine if we indoctrinated those kids starting in high school. I think they're doing it, yeah, even before high school. But I shared that clip. It went viral because people get it. We saw through Zoom school during the COVID era all of this leftist garbage in the public school system. Now they want to add one more year to a broken system and think that that's going to fix everything. Well, it might, in that, you know, what's that quote from Lenin, or at least it was attributed to Lenin? Give us the child for 4 years and they'll forever be a Bolshevik. It's communist brainwashing. And the hypocrisy really gets me with the pre-K thing, Rich. These people who support pre-K and having taxpayers fund that, some of these pre-K programs, and I don't know what the proposal is in New Jersey, allows you to use that funding at privately operated pre-K facilities, even religious ones in some states. But then when it comes to kindergarten the very next year, we can't have the money follow the child because it'll defund the public schools.
Yeah.
And so they're all about the money following the student for pre-K, but once it threatens the union's monopoly, once you get to kindergarten, no way, they can't do it anymore. And
well, here's my theory on that. It's interesting you brought that up. This is my theory on that. Right now, schools don't have capacity, many of them, for full-day kindergarten or for pre-K. So I think this is a backhanded way to get them to spend more money and build more schools, Corey, by literally doing this and saying, well, you know, we've got this universal pre-K and we're giving you money now to send your kid to, you know, whatever, Goddard or whatever private school. But we need to send him to the public school. So pass this referendum so that we can have full-day kindergarten and we can have full-day pre-K and then suck them back into the public school. That's what I think that their secret plan is all about.
And it doesn't work. We have evidence from Head Start showed that it spent tons of money, and the outcomes, even if there's a small uptick in academic outcomes in kindergarten, it fades away by third grade. And if the latest experiments actually out of Tennessee, they have a statewide voluntary pre-K program in Tennessee, of all places. And the latest experiment from there, I believe the study was published in 2022 in a top academic journal, found that winning a lottery to attend, to get the pre-K, you know, experiment, compared to the kids who lost the lottery who stayed home, the ones who got pre-K were actually academically and behaviorally worse off through sixth grade. So it's not just that the outcomes faded away, they flipped the other direction. And I you can come up with your theories. My theory is that, I don't know, parents have a competitive advantage at taking care of their own kids when they're very young, and maybe they're more likely to be able to discipline them appropriately at a very young age than these government bureaucrats that you're sending them to for so long and being warehoused in these factory model schools. It might be a good result for homeschooling. I mean, if you think about it, if you're not doing preschool, if you lost the lottery, you're at home. That's basically homeschooling. And so maybe that's some proof that homeschooling works.
Well, Corey DeAngelis, on that point, 2 points. One point, number one, there's now a bill in New Jersey to regulate homeschooling. They tried this crap in PA, too, where the kids would have to come for annual wellness visits by the state, and the state would have to approve the curriculum and the same nonsense. Number two is, you know, for a lot of parents who work, they think, oh, universal pre-K sounds great because I need help with childcare. But what I like that President Trump has talked about is finding a way to help stay-at-home moms or dads, you know, whoever's doing it, but mostly it's moms, to help stay-at-home moms because it's a job and to be able to have the money to be able to do that so that you can help offset that a little bit so they don't have to send their kids to daycare or to a private school or another school as well. Because there has to be a way for parents who don't want their kids to get into the indoctrination camp at 3 years old but don't have the means, right?
And look, we're already spending the money. Taxpayers fund government education to the tune of $20,000 a kid per year on average.
Yeah.
Some places are Pennsylvania is higher and New Jersey is higher than that average. We might as well strike a deal. And I think Trump's offer was basically, how about we give them half? Let's take $10,000. Let's get a tax credit if you homeschool your child. That's far less than what we're spending in the government failure factories. It should save taxpayer money, in a sense, if you're not spending it in the public school system. And the parents would benefit because now they're getting to keep more of their tax funding. One big benefit that passed out of the big, beautiful bill was a school choice provision, actually. It's a federal tax credit. And I don't think it's $10,000. It's a little less than that. But the original version that passed out of the House, states did not have to opt in. You didn't have to go through the governor to get this benefit. The Senate parliamentarian who was appointed by a Democrat tried to kill the provision. It ultimately made its way back. Thankfully, we got our foot in the door. But governors can opt out. So if you have a bad governor, that's a problem. But if New Jersey gets a Republican, you know he supports school choice. You wouldn't have to go through the legislature.
Yeah, but
the governor would be able to do.
What does Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro do?
We'll see, because he pretended he supported school choice when he ran for governor.
Changed and now he wants to run for president.
Platform.
Now he wants the big job, though, Corey. So, you know, what do you do?
Well, if he's smart, Republicans, Democrats, and independents support school choice. He should listen to his constituents as opposed to the special interest PSEA that controls him. He ultimately vetoed his own school choice campaign promise a couple years ago. I mean, it's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it works out for him. I think that it would be used against him on the campaign trail. You think about it. In the most recent presidential election, Trump won the education vote, according to Atlas Intel. He was beating Kamala Harris on education as a Republican. And Kamala Harris didn't say much of a word about education because she was on the wrong side of history on the issue. So union muscle can only get you so far. Maybe Josh will flip-flop back towards the side of parents, and maybe it's because he's putting his thumb in the wind and not because he actually believes in it. Well, he does believe it. He believes it for himself and his family. He sent all his kids to private school, and he went to private school himself. But he recently pulled the ladder up from behind himself. And
it's just like what Booker did, too. It's the same thing, right?
Exactly.
At one point, it was a school choice evangelist. We had a big win in the courts, so parents can opt out of the LGBTQ plus IA, every letter of the alphabet indoctrination. That was a big win at the Supreme Court. I'm very happy about that. But there's a lot of things parents are really upset about what their kids have to learn in the public school curriculum. That's an aspect of it. The crazy gender stuff is one piece of it. But Corey, too, the climate change stuff, man. I mean, it's like I see this with kids all the time learning about how, I mean, they're literally telling them that fossil fuel company, like big oil, like they're murderers. Like they're teaching kids this stuff.
Yeah, we won the Mahmoud v. Taylor case of the Supreme Court because out of Maryland, they stopped allowing parents to opt out because of their just ridiculous ideology they want to force down into the classroom on young, impressionable minds. And now I just leave the NEA.
And you filed an amicus brief on that, right? You guys did?
No, I didn't. I think Liberty Justice Center might have.
Okay.
But I'm certainly in favor of the outcome. And yeah. It's great that parents can opt out. But yeah, you're right. It should be for whatever reason. It shouldn't just be based on religious liberty. I wish they would have ruled based on your First Amendment rights, because we have compulsory education laws. This is essentially compelled government speech in the public school system. You have to recite what the teacher tells you to get a good grade. You have to pay for it through taxes. Mm-hmm. The only solution, in my view, is school choice. Let people vote with their feet to places that align with their values. And at the very minimum, let us opt out of courses that conflict with our beliefs and our value system, regardless of whether that has to do with religion or not. I think the Mahmood is a step in the right direction, but we're not done yet. And I just released the leaked resolutions from the NEA, the National Education Association's annual meeting that they had last week. I put it all over X. I had a member that was not happy about them, shared it with me, and I blasted it to the public. And one of the resolutions dedicated that they passed $200,000 to basically train teachers to get around this Supreme Court decision. They're dedicating a ton of money towards it. They're trying to move the goalposts and do what they want anyway. So parents need to remain vigilant. Yeah, we won in the courts, but you have to talk to your kids, make sure that this stuff isn't happening in schools, because you can't trust the government school system with your children. You just can't. And so you either have to pull them out, homeschool them, or have very serious conversations with them on a daily basis to make sure this stuff isn't happening, because the teacher unions aren't going down without a fight, but neither are we. They're our kids, so we're going to win.
Corey DeAngelis, keep up the great work, my man. You're doing great. I mean, honestly, your voice is so critical out there. And of course, must-read book, The Parent Revolution. Get your copy today. It was endorsed by President Donald Trump. So big congratulations on that, Corey. The Parent Revolution. And follow Corey on X at DeAngelis. Corey, thanks, my friend. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much, Rich. Good talking to you.
Great.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah, he said Corey DeAngelis is a fighter for parental rights. His new book, The Parent Revolution, is a great guide to help moms and dads take back control of their children's education from the radical Marxists running our schools. So there you go. All right, I got a lot to get to. We are just getting warmed up here. We're going to have Susan Crabtree on a little bit later to talk about Butler and what we don't know about Butler, what we still don't know about Butler. But here's what I know. I know that Bob's Little Sports Shop is my go-to place when it comes to firearms and the Second Amendment, and I want them to be your shop, too. They're in Glassboro on Delsey Drive, and they have the ability to host events, too. How amazing does that sound? You could have a bachelorette party or a bachelor party, corporate event. You could have any kind of event at Bob's, up to 30 people. They also have rooms for up to 10 people, too, during business hours. You get certified NRA trainers. You don't need to have a firearms card, and no experience is necessary for one of these events. But the key is this. Bob's has great people who are going to help you and work with you, and an incredible selection of firearms. 60 years in business. They were just recognized for their contribution to the community and, of course, to safety. And it's all about safety. And that's why they've got a range, and they've got classes, and they have women instructors, and they've got men instructors, male instructors, and female instructors. And they're there for your every need. And, of course, the best selection of firearms. All you got to do is go to BobsLittleSportsShop.com. BobsLittleSportsShop.com. Make them your go-to place, just like they're my go-to place. BobsLittleSportsShop.com. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
All righty. So, John Brennan is such a freaking sleazeball, lying, corrupt SOB. I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am that they're finally investigating this guy. You know, the whole spying on Congress thing, that's bad. Also, the fact that John Brennan was in charge of the drone strikes, and he lied about that, too. He lied and said that U.S. drone strikes. Obama was droning everybody in the Middle East back then, if you remember. Nobody cared because it was a Democrat president. But at least 76 civilians, including children and women, were killed in 10 U.S. drone strikes during that period. And Brennan said that there had been no civilian deaths. And that was another lie from this guy, the CIA director who was behind the Russia collusion hoax, who's now under investigation. So here's cut number four from June 29th, 2011. Another lie from liar John Brennan. Take a listen.
Has been insistent on is that we're exceptionally precise and surgical in terms of addressing the terrorist threat. And by that, I mean, if there are terrorists who are within an area where there are women and children or others, you know, we do not take such action that might put those innocent men, women, and children in danger. In fact, I can say that the types of operations that the U.S. has been involved in the counterterrorism realm, that nearly for the past year, there hasn't been a single collateral death because of the exceptional proficiency, precision, of the capabilities that we've been able to develop.
Absolute lie. The Bureau specifically refuted his claims, saying they do not appear to bear scrutiny. He's a liar. John Brennan is a liar. This is a flashback to 2017. He was asked under oath if he had seen any evidence of the Trump campaign colluding with Russia. Now, remember something. He would proceed to lie for years, and it's only because now CIA Director John Ratcliffe has, declassified these documents, showing that John Brennan was behind the Russia collusion, making it into the ICA, which is what President Obama would see, what the intelligence community would see, the intelligence community assessment. But here he is, lying before Congress, cut number five, 2017. Take a listen.
Did you find direct evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Putin in Moscow while you were there?
Mr. Rooney, I never was an FBI agent. I never was a prosecutor, so I really don't do evidence. I do intelligence throughout the course of my career. As an intelligence professional, what we try to do is to make sure that we provide all relevant information to the Bureau if there is an investigation underway that they are looking into criminal activity. As I mentioned in my opening statement, I was convinced in the summer that the Russians were trying to interfere in the election. And they were very aggressive. It was a multifaceted effort. And I wanted to make sure that we were able to expose as much of that as possible.
But was there intelligence that said that the Trump campaign was colluding with Moscow during their campaign?
There was intelligence that the Russian intelligence services were actively involved in this effort. And having been involved in many counterintelligence cases in the past, I know what the Russians try to do. They try to suborn individuals, and they try to get individuals, including U.S. persons, to act on their behalf either wittingly or unwittingly. And I was worried by a number of the contacts that the Russians had with U.S. persons. And so, therefore, by the time I left office on January 20th, I had unresolved questions in my mind as to whether or not the Russians had been successful in getting U.S. persons involved in the campaign or not, to work on their behalf, again, either in a witting or unwitting fashion. And so, therefore, I felt as though the FBI investigation was certainly well-founded and needed to look into those issues.
Did evidence exist of collusion, coordination, conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russian state actors at the time you learned of 2016 efforts?
I encountered and am aware of information and intelligence that revealed contacts and interactions between Russian officials and U.S. persons involved in the Trump campaign that I was concerned about because of known Russian efforts to suborn such individuals. And it raised questions in my mind, again, whether or not the Russians were able to gain the cooperation of those individuals. I don't know whether or not such collusion, that's your term, such collusion existed. I don't know.
So he would go on to push this lie of Russian collusion. And the lie that he told Congress was, I don't know. And then he would proceed to tell the intelligence community and put in the ICA and insist on this, that Donald Trump and the Russians were in on it together, the Trump campaign and the president specifically. This is why John Brennan deserves to go to prison, in my opinion, among other things. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. Coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.